guys, and welcome back to another episode of Fangirl Report with me, your host, Emma Heron, your very own certified fan, a girl. And you guys, we've got a lot to unpack this week. And let's address the elephant in the room. There was not an episode last week, I know. And I remember I was literally telling you guys, I was hyping it up so much that we were going to have Fangirl Report live in New York. But it didn't exactly work out like that. We're going to get into it, though. I hope you enjoyed, though, because I did not want to leave you guys hanging. So for all of my YouTube girlies, all my YouTube watchers out there, I did post a little travel NYC vlog. So I hope y'all enjoyed that instead. If you enjoy content like that and you would like to see more, please let me know. I think vlogging is so much fun, and if it's something that you would like to see, I would love to incorporate it into the content, whether that's on this channel, whether that's on like a separate channel, I'm not sure. But just in general, if you enjoyed that kind of style of video, let me know. Tell me your feedback. Okay, another thing. It is Sunday at 8 p.m. and I'm only now just sitting down to record this. So the sun is setting before my very eyes, which means I've got some lights on, but it's only going to continue to get darker. So we're just going to roll with it. It is what it is. And yeah, so that's that. I'm really procrastinating this weekend. I know, it's so bad. But yeah. Okay, moving forward. Let's just really get into it. So as far as life updates go, honestly, it's just NYC. NYC. Just got here this morning. I was literally singing that, guys, when I got into New York. I was singing it all weekend long. It was so good. But anyways, in terms of there being no episode last week, while we were in New York, I'm not even kidding you guys, we were so busy. It was so much fun. I had an absolute blast. I would go back in a heartbeat, but we were getting like 25,000 steps a day. Like, we were on it. So by the time we did get back to the hotel, like, we were asleep the moment we got in. So there just really wasn't a good time to sit down and film a little episode for you guys. So I'm very sorry we did not get Fangirl Report live from New York. Another time. And we're gonna get into the trip. I'm gonna give you guys the debrief, of course. I've got my cozies on, I've got my little sweatpants on. And we're gonna get right into it. So we went from Friday the 16th to Monday the 19th. We left very early Monday the 19th. So it was 2 full days, and then Friday was like our partial day. And it was so annoying because our plane ended up getting delayed 2 hours getting there. So there was only one thing we had to cut out of the schedule, which is MoMA. So I didn't get to go to MoMA this time, but that's fine. We'll just save it for next time. So we did have to cut that out, but we went for dinner, and we went to see my first Broadway show. And you guys, I was not prepared for the level of production that goes into a Broadway show. I simply was not prepared for it. The production value is so high. It was freaking incredible. First of all, so we saw Book of Mormon, and it was fantastic. I loved it. And so as we were kind of getting into the theater, I was talking to my mom a little bit about it. And she talked to her coworker who has seen it before and had nothing but raving reviews to say about it. And anybody else that I've talked to who has seen it absolutely loved it. So I was so excited. We got cheap ass tickets. So there was 4 of us that were on the trip in total. And so we were in the very, very back, very top row of 4 seats at the dead back of the theater. And I had such a blast. Because the thing about Broadway, like, Broadway theaters are very small, but they're very tall. So you can fit a lot of people in. And even if you are at the dead back, you still get a perfect view of the stage. Like, it's not that far away because they're really tall rather than like wide, I guess. So no matter where you sit at a Broadway show, you're going to have a good view because that's kind of what they're made for, right? So it was so good. I couldn't believe it. And so the show starts, right? And like the orchestra does like the classic, like, that's like the tuning sound. And bitch, I teared up a little bit. I teared up a little bit because I was just so thrilled to be there. I was so thrilled. And I have been a Broadway girl for a very long time. Like, I've always been kind of, well, I wouldn't say always, like, once I got into high school, I was very music oriented, very Broadway, very musical theater. And that's like high school is when I started getting into like actually participating in things like that. So this has been a long time coming. Like, I graduated high school. Oh my God, I'm gonna have an existential crisis about this. I graduated in 2018. I don't want to talk about it. So I would have gotten into high school at 2014. So around there was when I started getting introduced to musical theater and stuff. So this was a very long time coming. And like, I've seen smaller scale shows. Like, of course, there's like all the community theater, and like in Sarnia, they have their Imperial Theater where they put on shows. So I've seen shows there. I've seen shows, like I went to see Six the Musical in Toronto. I've seen like in Stratford, I saw like Mary Poppins in Stratford and stuff like that. And like, they were all so fantastic. Like, I've really genuinely loved every single show that I've seen. But like I said, nothing prepared me for the level of production that goes on at a Broadway show, which I'm not sure what I was expecting. I don't know why I didn't expect that level of production, but ooh, wow. The, oh God, I wish I remembered his name. The boy who played Elder Price. I don't remember his name, but he was wonderful. Like, he was so Andrew Rennell's coded. He was literally perfect. I am so obsessed. And so I loved every part of it. If you have seen it, there's this part where they're like, he's having a hell dream. That shit was crazy. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But I just thought it was such, especially if you're going with friends who like aren't necessarily super into Broadway, I think it's such a fantastic show to see for Broadway fans and non-Broadway fans alike. It's really funny. The music is really good. And it's just like a good little introductory musical to it. And it's so funny because when we got back, Bessie Jennifer, who we went with, she sent me like a screenshot of her Spotify, like playing the Book of Mormon Broadway recording. And she's obsessed. And I don't blame her because I've been listening to it as well. And it is so good. And so it's really funny because me and her have always like kind of joked around about Hamilton fans, which I am a Hamilton fan. And she's like, no, I could just never get into it. Bitch, you'll never believe what she sent me the other day. A screenshot of You'll Be Back from Hamilton. She's like, wait, this is actually kind of good. I said, yeah, you're transitioning, girl. You're in the transition to becoming a Broadway fan. It's happening right before my very eyes. And I'm here for it. I have to say that I am 100% here for it. So I've been obsessed with Book of Mormon. Hello, my name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book. Hello. It's so good. So I've loved that song. I really love the song You and Me, but Mostly Me. I love that song. And like Josh Gad's character, Elder Cunningham, my best friend. I love it. I love it. It's so good. And like every part, guys, I can't even. And it's so sad because there were so many shows that I wanted to see so bad, but of course you have to narrow it down to one. And don't get me wrong, I am so thrilled that we landed on Book of Mormon because I have a lot of Broadway soundtracks in like my library, a lot of Broadway soundtracks that I know from start to finish that I've really familiarized myself with. Book of Mormon would have never been one of those soundtracks that were in my library unless I went to see it. So I am actually really, really thrilled that we did pick something that I had no idea what it was like going in. Like, I've heard like Hello, and I heard I Believe. I've heard that song before. Other than that, I had no knowledge of this musical. So I am really happy that the one we did choose is one that I didn't know much about going in. So yeah, I broadened my horizons on Broadway. Yeah, but yeah, I would have loved to see Hamilton. I would have loved to see Wicked. I would have loved to see everything. Honestly, like, me and Nick have been talking about it a lot, like how we want to go back maybe sometime next year, maybe do like an extra night or two, and every single night get like rush tickets to a different Broadway show every night, and just like as cheap as possible, just like whatever is available, and go see a show every night. I think that would be so much fun. Because there's so many shows that I want to see. And there's so many shows that I wish I had seen. Because there's a lot of musicals that I'm a really big fan of that aren't on Broadway anymore, like Mean Girls, for example. I know Beetlejuice is on tour right now, but when Beetlejuice was on Broadway, I really wanted to go see that. Tons that aren't on Broadway anymore that I would have loved to see. Yeah. So we're going to circle back to it, but after my little New York debrief, but I am so in my Broadway era right now. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. And so wrapping up our Friday, I am ready to move to New York. I'm ready to move to New York and live my Broadway debut era. I need to get on Broadway. I need to be discovered, and I need to get on Broadway as soon as possible, okay? And if that takes me moving to New York City to do that, then I will. And I'm being so legit, guys. Like, I actually will. It's not even funny. I literally will go on Broadway. I'm not even being funny about it. I will move to New York City right now. And economically, I think it makes more sense to live in New York City compared to Toronto right now. Because from what I know, I think you make more money in the States and they tax less in the States. I think. So let me just get a job in New York. Okay, get discovered, get on Broadway, and live my best life and make lots of money. Okay, thank you. So yeah, I've just been like itching so hard. Like, because as y'all know, I have the prom in the fall. So rehearsals don't start until the beginning of September. So I've just been like itching to like get involved with something. But there's like nothing left that they're auditioning for in the summertime. Except Quickly. Okay, so the same place that I'm doing the prom for, they're doing another Broadway style, like variety show kind of a vibe. They are having auditions for that, and it's going to be in July. So I think I'm going to audition for that. And that's all the information I'm going to give, because I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm just going to go, and what happens, happens. Anyways, but yeah, it just has had me in my Broadway era, in my singing era. And I need to get on Broadway immediately. And I've been like actually seriously thinking about it, like, even if I don't move to New York City, like, what if I just, like, start getting really serious about performing in Toronto and then eventually sign a Broadway contract and then live there for 2 months, right? And then do the contract and then come back to Toronto. That's not, like, out of the question, because Miss Six the Musical from Toronto, Miss Crystal Hernandez, that's what she's doing right now. Now, again, I don't really know where she lives normally. I know she's not Canadian. I think she lives in, like, Boston or something. I don't know. But Miss Crystal Hernandez was doing Toronto. Now she's doing Six on Broadway. And I'm not sure for how long, but I would assume it's around a 2-month contract. Hello? Yes, please. I would love that. So I think that might be the plan. Like, once I get like a couple of like community shows, like the prom, under my belt, get like my experience again, get really serious about performing, and then sign a Broadway contract. So Broadway, I'll see you in 5 years. Do you think that's actually a realistic 5-year goal? Do you think? I think it could be. I don't know, though. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. But anyways, so that was our Friday. And then after our Broadway show, we went to the hotel rooftop bar. So the hotel that we were at, they had a cute little bar that like overlooks the city and stuff. So we went up there, had some drinks. I had a margarita. And that was it for the night. Saturday, you know what, guys? I'm not even going to lie. Saturday, we did so much that it's kind of a blur. So let me think about this. We wake up. We get breakfast. Oh, we went to the Museum of Moving Image, which has like a bunch of old, some movie props and like some really old like filmmaking equipment. It was pretty cool. So we did that. And then we went to, I don't even remember. I know we made our way. Oh, yes. We went to Chelsea Market. Then we went down and saw the Ghostbusters Firehouse. Then we went down to the 9/11 Memorial. Then we went down to Battery Park. Which, in Battery Park, like, outside of it, it was so ridiculous. Like, if you know New York City, there's scammers everywhere. Especially in Times Square. Just people looking for a buck from you. So there was, outside of Battery Park, there was these guys that were, like, they were selling, like, boat tours around the Statue of Liberty. Complete side note, I cannot stop calling it the Statue of Litterby because of that one meme. The Statue of Litterby? And I was literally talking to a coworker about the trip, and I said Statue of Litterby, and I felt like an idiot. But it's just because of that freaking stupid meme. Anyways, so there was people selling boat tours around the Statue of Liberty. right? And so they were saying that Battery Park is closed and you can't walk through it anymore because apparently Hurricane Sandy, like, they closed it off because of that. So we were like, okay, whatever. So we just kept walking to a different park entrance and it was literally open, and then there was a sign that said, beware of scammers. Really? So anyways, we walked through Battery Park. We saw a very horrible view of the Statue of Liberty. Then we went to Mercer Labs for like an immersive kind of art experience. It was art and technology exhibit, I think. And it was really cool. I liked it. And then we walked past Trinity Church, where Alexander Hamilton is buried. And I think Eliza is buried there too. We didn't go in, but it was just really cool to walk past it. And then we crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah. And then me and Nick went all the way into Brooklyn and we went to see the Brooklyn Nine-Nine building in all of its glory. It was amazing. We literally stepped out of the subway station and walked down the street, and like glowing like a ray of light was the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, exterior of the precinct that they use in like the timestamps of the show. Wow, it was amazing. And I made a video and I took lots of pictures and it was amazing. It was literally everything I could have dreamed of. That as well was a long time in the making, because I got into Brooklyn Nine-Nine in high school as well. And so that shit was my comfort show for so many years. So that was a long time in the making as well. I was so happy. And then me and Nick went to a Raising Cane's in Brooklyn. I love Raising Cane's. It's so good. It was my first time ever trying it. And I might have mentioned it on the pod before that I wanted to try it. It lived up to my expectations. It was really delicious. And I am a big fan of mayo, and I'm a big fan of mayo chup, which is mayonnaise and ketchup mixed together, and that's literally what the Raising Cane's sauce is, which with maybe a couple extra added spices in there. Yeah, it was fantastic. I was obsessed, and we ended up having it again the next night because I didn't want anything else. Anyways, so I think we pretty much wrapped up our day there. So we went back to the hotel. I think maybe we did a couple other things that I don't freaking remember. Because again, we walked 25,000 steps that day. It was something crazy like that. And then on Sunday, we wake up and we did Central Park, which a lot of it was really cute. And yeah. But if I'm being really honest, most of Central Park is really boring. Sorry. Most of it is really like freaking cute, and there's super cute bridges and stuff, and like the scenery is super nice, but like other than that, it's really kind of boring. Sorry. And so what else did we do on Sunday? The way I hardly remember. Oh yeah, we went into the Museum of Natural History for a little bit, and then we had lunch in Soho. Soho is so beautiful, you guys. It's so gorgeous. That is a really nice neighborhood, and Chelsea is a really nice neighborhood as well. And yeah. So speaking of moving to New York quickly, if I had infinite money and I could pick like three spots in New York to move to, I would live in Chelsea, I would live in Soho, and I would live in Brooklyn. I know Brooklyn is very broad in this, but I love Brooklyn. I just love the vibes there. I think it's so nice. I would live in Brooklyn 100%. Not anywhere in particular, just like anywhere. And then in Chelsea and in Soho. Again, if I had infinite money, because Chelsea and Soho are very nice neighborhoods. Yeah. And so we went to a couple of other shops in Soho, and then, bitch, the way that I don't even remember. I think after that, we honestly just went back to the hotel, and we had a pretty early day because we had to wake up at like 3:30 in the morning to get to the airport for a very early flight. That was kind of shitty, but it's fine. But overall, and then we had Raising Cane's again, like I said. And yeah, other than that, that was pretty much it. And then we went back to Toronto the next morning. And since Monday was a holiday for Canadians, we had all day to just sleep and chill and rot in bed. It was really quite a nice trip. I had so much fun. And yes, I would move to New York City. I really would. I really would. I really would. I really do like love the life that I have right now in Toronto. But like, if the circumstances were right, I would pack up everything and move to New York City. I would. I absolutely would. Like, you know, I've seen a couple of TikToks talking about it where it's like, there's just one place that like either calls to you or like one place that you just like feel really at home at. New York City is one of those places for me. I would love to live there. And I know like New York absolutely has its pros and it has its cons. There's a lot of kind of shitty things about New York, but I feel like if you kind of pick the right area and just avoid the bad areas. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and I would do it so fast. So that's that. So yeah, I had a wonderful time in New York. Go watch the vlog on my YouTube if you haven't already, if you would like a little taste of what we were up to. And yeah, it was so fabulous, and I can't wait to go back at some point. Yeah. And so, oh my god, so Broadway, that leads me back to Broadway, which I'm just like so in my Broadway era right now. Like, I can't stop listening to it. And there's one musical, Death Becomes Her, that's getting really popular. And I keep seeing, like, these lip-syncing videos on TikTok. I'm so entertained by them, and I will watch every single one. And there's that one sound where, what is it? She stole my life. She made me cuckoo. She's why I spent 4 years locked in that health spa. Wow, I clearly know the words really well. But that one word, it's like, she stole my life. She made me cuckoo. I love it. I'm obsessed. And yeah, and we walked past the theater a couple of times for that show. It looks really good. And you know what? I'm so upset because literally, I think it was like maybe Friday, they did, and okay, the Hamilton girls are going to know. When they do Ham for Ham, or they'll go outside of the Richard Rogers Theater, the Hamilton Theater, and they'll have like all these people come and sing outside of the theater. We missed that, and I'm really upset about it. Why could they not have done that the weekend we were there? So the girls, the two main girls in Death Becomes Her, sang it. Where they were, that was rude. That was really fucking rude. That, what an iconic musical. And it's like totally blowing up on TikTok, where all these really iconic moments are on it. So I'm going to need to go back, and I'm going to go need to see that before it goes away. Because I'll regret it. I know it. And I haven't listened to the full soundtrack yet, but it is on my to-do list for sure. So yeah, that's that. I'm completely in my Broadway era right now, listening to Book of Mormon nonstop and listening to all of my favorites nonstop. And for my upcoming audition, I need to have two songs ready, and I have no clue what I'm gonna do. I'm thinking maybe Requiem from Dear Evan Hansen, because that's a very easy belting song for me. But other than that, I don't know. Maybe I will listen to Death Becomes Her all the way through, and maybe something will speak to me from there. Yeah, I'm thinking so. So yeah, that's that. So one of the things I'm fangirling about this week, Broadway. Always. I like, Broadway's one of those things where I'm always going to come back to Broadway. That's just, it is what it is. And another thing that I'm so sad about, because I'm kind of late for it, is Thunderbolts. So not, okay, so the Tuesday before we left for New York, so this would have been the 12th, maybe, I don't know, something like that. The Tuesday before we left, me and bestie Karina, who was on the pod, if you missed her episode, go back and watch it. We went together to see Thunderbolts. I hate to say it, I think Marvel is back, sorry about it. I think Marvel is back. I actually really, really enjoy Thunderbolts. First of all, Bucky Barnes on a motorcycle with his long hair. Need I say more? Need I say more? I don't think so. And so the moment that, oh, girl. See, okay, I don't know about you guys. Ever since I've been a Marvel girl, every time I go see a Marvel movie in the theaters, whoever I am seeing it with, when something exciting happens, I'm going to be fucking assaulting them next to me, whacking them on the shoulder, being like, oh my god, are you seeing what I'm seeing right now? Okay? And so when Bucky Barnes comes out of the fucking smoke on his motorcycle and sunglasses on, bestie Karina matched the energy. She matched my energy, and we were thirsting over Mr. Bucky Barnes. Yeah, we were. And so overall, I really enjoyed it. It was really funny. And as far as like the villain goes for this movie, it was a lot different than Marvel normally does. And it was very almost psychological. It was almost like, it was definitely touching on a lot of mental health, which I thought was really interesting for Marvel, but I really liked it. And Bob, hi, Bob, you're everything, and I love you. So it was really entertaining. Florence Pugh was, as always, magnificent in this movie. And if you guys haven't seen it, I'm going to be talking about it a little bit, but I don't think it's much to be, like, no really spoiler warnings, I don't think. Just watch at your own risk. Thank you so much. Florence Pugh, when, she was on the streets of freaking New York with her dad. And she goes, "Daddy, I'm so alone." Bitch, girl, tugging on my heartstrings a little bit. But yeah, she was fantastic. I love Florence Pugh. And girl, she looked good. Sorry, she looked magnificent in this movie. The freaking slicked back blonde moment. She looked good, okay? And then her and Bucky Barnes, Mr. Sebastian Stan, together? Girl, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? So yeah, Thunderbolts was really excellent. So this is so random. But I really enjoyed it. And then guys, don't even get me started. And so the movie comes to an end. Okay? And as always, it's Marvel. There's going to be a post-credit scene in there, okay? There's going to be two post-credit scenes, okay? So we're watching through the credits, and the final post-credit scene, again, if you haven't seen the movie, watch at your own risk. I don't really think it's much of a spoiler, but Mr. fucking Sebastian Stan had his fucking prince hair happening. Oh my god. And I keep seeing TikToks. Like, after it came out, I kept seeing TikToks about, like, man, like, the Marvel writers really, like, finally went onto Pinterest. Because you know how, like, there was all those edits back in the day of, like, Sebastian Stan and Bucky Barnes with, like, the prince hair vibes going on, how they would, like, edit it on so they had, like, the flow and stuff. They were like, finally, the Marvel writers are finally looking to Pinterest for their inspiration. And he's got his prince hair. He looks so good. And I really love, again, spoiler warning, but not really. I really love the idea of them being like the new Avengers. I think that's really cool. I think it's going to be a really interesting take on like the next phase of Marvel. And, you know, being an Avengers girl, like, I first became a really big fan of Marvel when the 2012 Avengers movie came out. Like, when I finally saw that for the first time, like, I was absolutely so hooked. And of course, Iron Man became like my childhood icon, you know what I mean? Like, Tony Stark, Iron Man in general, like, he was my favorite Avenger for so long. And so I've talked about it before, but back when we did have like cable and satellite TV or whatever it was, like, I would go on the TV guide and I would search up whenever they were playing Avengers on the TV, and anytime they were, I would sit down and I would watch the whole movie, no matter how many times I've seen it. They played it on the freaking satellite TV, I was gonna watch it every single time, okay? And I would literally look at the schedule, because, guys, I remember, like, when you would press the guide button on your remote control, and, like, it would pop up for, like, all of the channels would come up, what was playing, and then what was gonna, like, the whole schedule for the next couple hours would come up. And I would literally, you were able to search. I would search up Avengers, and it say it was playing, okay, 7 p.m., okay, log in. At 7 p.m., I'm watching it. Okay, and I did. So that, I became very attached to, like, the whole Iron Man and, like, the original Avengers, the whole image of that. I became really attached to that because, like childhood icons, of course, right? And so then, like, Avengers Age of Ultron came out, and then, like, Captain America Civil War came out. And, of course, Captain America Civil War, I was rooting for Iron Man, obviously. Nowadays, would I root for Iron Man? Maybe not, but it's fine. It doesn't matter. And so a lot of the movies when I was a child, during my childhood came out, it was of the original Avengers, right? And of course they would bring in like Bucky Barnes, and they would bring in Ant-Man and the Wasp and stuff. But like, it was always that one phase for me that I got really used to, got really attached to. And so I remember when Infinity War and when Endgame came out, when Steve Rogers kind of passed on his shield to Sam Wilson, when Iron Man snapped his motherfucking fingers and bitch died, and like, when I knew that it wasn't going to be the original Avengers anymore, like, I was so sad. Like, I remember, like, my mom will tell you, because I went to see Endgame with her in theaters for the first time, and so the moment when Iron Man was dying, I was pissed. And so my mom, like, she would look over at me, and this is what she saw. I was like, pouting, bitch, pouting in the seat, watching Iron Man die. I'm like, you're kidding me, you're killing off Iron Man. Oh, so you're killing off my childhood hero. Oh, okay, I see how it is. Yeah, I see how it is. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. And so I was definitely not ready for that era of Marvel to be over, but like ultimately, like, it is what it is. And I think, what was the movie that came out? Was it the Marvels? No, because I know there's like, there's gonna be like the Young Avengers, right? So I know there was Marvels that came out. There was like Eternals that came out. But like basically they were like kind of setting it up for the new group of Avengers. And it was like Miss Marvel. It was, I don't remember. Guys, see, as soon as that era of like era of Marvel ended, I did not really keep up with any of the other movies after that. I don't even know. Anyways, so I was not here for the idea of like this new freaking woke ass Young Avengers like taking over. I just was not here for it. But I think having Bucky, having Yelena, I don't know, because Yelena, whatever. Having Bucky, having Yelena, having, what's her name, Ghost, having John Walker, like having, I think, and who else? Well, evidently Bob now, and then the Red Guardian. Like, I think, like, especially because, like, first of all, like, Bucky was Steve's best friend. He was, like, an essential part to Steve's upbringing as Captain America in general. And then there was Natasha, and Yelena's sister, Natasha. So they were really close. Like, they were a part of each other's upbringing as well. And I think just having those kind of connected characters kind of stepping in for their respected people, I think that's a really great way to go about it. And I'm really excited to see what else comes of that, okay? So I've been, another thing I've been fangirling about lately, Bucky Barnes. Because, yeah, because it's Bucky Barnes, I don't know what else you want me to say. Thank you so much. And so another thing in the end credits, again, spoiler warning if you haven't seen it, but get out there and see it. So there was one moment where they're in the Avengers Tower and they get like an alert for an unknown thing coming into the atmosphere. And I knew it was going to be a Fantastic Four little cliffhanger. And of course, it was a rocket ship, and then it turns a little bit and bitch, the freaking Fantastic Four logo was on it. And I said, yeah, Pedro Pascal was on that ship. Pedro Pascal was on that rocket ship, actually. Mm-hmm. So, just, sorry. I just got so excited because I just realized that means there's going to be some sort of Marvel movie coming out in the near future where it's Pedro Pascal and Sebastian Stan in the same movie. Surely that has to mean that, right? Because they're like the new Avengers. In the Avengers Tower, they get the freaking alert that the Fantastic Four are coming in. Surely that means that Sebastian Stan and Pedro Pascal, my two husbands, are going to be on screen together. Oh my god, yes please. Yes please, that would be wonderful. Oh my god, I really hope so. I can't believe I just came to that conclusion. It's so funny because I was watching the end credit scene and I kept saying to Karina, I'm like, it's going to be Fantastic Four. They're going to tease Fantastic Four, 100%. Which means they're teasing Pedro Pascal at the same time. Yeah. I'm very excited for Fantastic Four to come out. I think that one's going to be really good. And like the whole kind of like, what is it, 60s, 50s kind of vibe for that movie. I think that one's going to be another one where it's like Marvel is back kind of vibe. I really think it's going to be good. I'm excited for it. And it's Pedro Pascal. So like, what else do you want from me? So I'm really, really excited for that to come out. I wouldn't say I'm excited for Doomsday. I'm very interested to see how that's going to go. A lot of really big names in that movie. Freaking Tom Hiddleston's going to be in that movie, which I'm hoping means that Sylvie's going to be in it too. I really hope so. That'd be really awesome. But it seems like it's going to be a big one. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about Robert Downey Jr. coming back as Dr. Doom. As soon as that was announced, I was like, really? Like, I don't know. That kind of ruins it for me. Especially because, like, Iron Man dying and Iron Man sacrificing his life to bring back all of the people from the blip, that was such a huge moment. And I feel like RDJ coming back as Dr. Doom just kind of ruins that for me in a way. Because it's like, RDJ was... You know what I mean? Like, why would you kill him off in such a way just to bring RDJ, holy moly, I'm having a stroke. RDJ, that's what it is. Why am I second guessing myself? But just to bring him back as a new face in something so big and something so different, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. Sorry, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. So we'll see. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be good, but ultimately, we'll see. But I'm very excited. It's going to be very nice to see Tom Hiddleston back and Pedro Pascal and RDJ in the same room. The two Ziadis. I can get behind that, I think. I think I can actually get behind that. Thank you so much. So yeah. So Sebastian Stan fangirling about. And speaking of Pedro Pascal, I still have not seen episode 2 of The Last of Us. I have not watched the dying episode. I have not. And I have not watched any episode after that. However, I've been seeing all the clips on TikTok. So I feel like I am pretty well caught up on what's happening. So Joel dies. And then from what I understand, it's a lot of flashback scenes from like Ellie's 16th birthday, Ellie's 18th birthday and stuff like that. So I've seen like the dinosaur clip. I've seen the freaking clip where Joel comes into the room. It's like, hey kiddo, and he's got the dad stance. Oh have I seen that So I know that. And then just on TikTok, hey, so I'll cry about it actually, of the clip of Joel singing and playing guitar. And it's really funny because growing up, and still even still, but growing up, my parents were huge fans of Eddie Vedder and fans of Pearl Jam. And so if you know, in the game they use Future Days by Pearl Jam, where it's like, if I ever were to lose you, I'd surely lose myself. So I've been very known about that song, and I know so much Pearl Jam just because like that was such a childhood staple for me. And so it's Tell Me Why I see a clip of Pedro Pascal singing that song on my For You page and playing guitar. Hey, so I'll cry right now, actually. Hey, so I'll cry. And Ellie looked just, she was just so happy to be like watching him do something that he worked on like that. Are you kidding me? So yeah, I do not have the heart to like actually watch the episodes. Will I watch the clips? Yeah, I will. Yeah, I will. But yeah, I just have not had the heart to actually sit down and like watch the episodes. I just can't do it, you guys. I'm sorry. I don't care if that makes me a fake fan. Sorry about it. That just is what it is. But yeah, always fangirling about Pedro Pascal, guys. That is not new. And Pedro, hey girl, take a break. You're in so many things. Is Freaky Tales out? I think Freaky Tales is out. I have not watched that. And I need to. If it's out, I need to get on that. And The Materialist, I'm very excited for. And the photo shoot that just came out with Chris Evans, Pedro Pascal, and Dakota Johnson. Yeah, that photo shoot was delicious. Thank you so much. Dakota Johnson, the woman that you are. God, what does it feel to be living my dream? Good Lord. So yeah, always fangirling about Pedro Pascal. That is absolutely nothing new. And yeah, so I'm really excited for Fantastic Four. I think that's going to be a really great movie. Excited for Materialist. What else? I still need to see The Uninvited. I know that that movie was out on Prime for a little bit and then they took it down. So we're going to need to get on that. We need to get it up somewhere so that I can see the scene of him making out with that girl. Just for my own research purposes, of course. Thank you so much. But yeah. So yeah, there's a lot going on in my head right now. So we're fangirling over Broadway, of course. We're fangirling over Sebastian Stan and Bucky Barnes, of course. We're fangirling over Pedro Pascal, of course. Have not watched Last of Us. Have not read Onyx Storm. I'm still on chapter 10 of Onyx Storm. I don't know why. I just have no desire to pick up the book right now. It's horrible, I know, and I need to get on it. And I'll let y'all know when I do. Thank you so much. So yeah, I think that's going to be about it for me. I know this was a little bit shorter than I typically do, but I think, you know, for coming back, for getting back into the groove of it after New York, I think this was a wonderful episode. It was so nice to catch up with you guys. So nice to give you a little debrief of the trip, a little debrief of what it is I'm fangirling about. And we're going to need to get on the Broadway Discovering Me project. We're going to have to get on that. So yeah. And that's that. So if you haven't already, you guys, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. I would love to have you. If you are a listener over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, rate my podcast 5 stars, would you? Thank you so much. And also come by and come stop by the YouTube at some point, okay? I would love to see you there. And that's it. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on TikTok. And, yeah. A lot of things I'm excited about recently, and I can't wait to get back into the groove with you guys, with the pod. And so let me know what you guys are fangirling about right now. Let me know if you've seen Thunderbolts, and let me know what you thought about it. And I don't know, if you have any trips or anything that you're going on, let me know. I don't know. I feel like it's very, very, I'm like in a very travel mode right now where I just want to go to so many places. So yeah, if you have any recent travel stories or you're going anywhere soon, let me know. Chat with me, message me. Love to see your face. Anyways, that's going to be it for me. Thank you guys so much for joining me today, and I will see you next week. I'll fangirl with you next week. Bye-bye.